Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is integration of WebSphere Adapter for SAP with WebSphere Message Broker. Today's presenter is Patley Bayabu. Patley has been working with the WebSphere Adapter Technical Support Team for the past 3 years. In the current role, she is responsible for solving adapter-related issues reported by clients. She also works closely with the development team in order to improve product quality and ensure client satisfaction. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Patley.
Hello everyone, this is Patley and thanks for joining the presentation. So with no further ado, let me go ahead with my presentation. So to start off with my presentation, I'm on my slide 2, which covers the agenda for today's presentation. So to start off, I would just give a brief overview or an intro of the WebSphere Adapter for SAP, cover some of the SAP terminology. And in the rest of the slides, I would just go over like basically the adapter packaging, the supported interfaces, the configuration and the deployment details specific to the message broker and the adapter, cover some of the troubleshooting information. And at the end, it open up for a Q&A session. Now, moving on to slide 3, which basically covers the overview of the WebSphere Adapter for SAP. So, the Adapter for SAP, it provides a way for integrating applications, which basically includes communication or exchanging information with the SAP server. So, WebSphere Adapter for SAP is being integrated into the message broker from version 6.1 onwards. So the adapter is available or included in the toolkit and is available as the SAP nodes. So there are two nodes that are provided, like the SAP input node and also the SAP request node. Using this node, it is used to support both the inbound and the outbound connectivity. When I say inbound, it means that the events are sent from the EIS system to the message flow. So, for example, say an order has been created in the SAP system. So that's an event which is basically that triggers an event. So the adapter listening for that event would get the event and process that event and then would forward it to the rest of the message flow for further processing. And also, as I said, it also supports the outbound connectivity. When I say outbound, it means basically the requests are transferred or are being sent from the message flow to the EIS system or the SAP server. So when the requests are being sent, for example, like outbound connectivity is used to, for example, say, retrieve the customer details from SAP or to update a record in SAP, something like that. And also, basically based on the JCA architecture version 1.5, and it uses the SAP JCO API in order to provide or communicate with the SAP systems. In addition to the SAP nodes, what adapter provides or as a part of the message broker toolkit is also a adapter connection wizard, which basically provides way for generating all the elements that are necessary for the EIS connectivity. So basically, in addition, what it does is like it helps or aids in the key data structure discovery, and also like it aids or accelerates or speeds up the message set generation. Now, moving on to the slide number 4, that talking of which basically talks about the adapter packaging. So, as I mentioned, the toolkit adapter comes with the toolkit. So, the toolkit includes the TX version of the adapter RAR file. So, included below is a sample location on where the adapter RAR file would be located. So, the adapter connection wizard within the toolkit uses this RAR file in order to generate the artifacts that are needed to include for EIS connectivity and also for generating the message flow. And also at runtime, it includes the adapter, SAP adapter jar and also the adapter foundation jars, which basically contains the files that are used for communication with the SAP systems at runtime. And also included below is a sample location of where the files would be located. Directory location where the files are located and in the runtime directory. And also to mention, like, in the message flows can be developed using the message broker toolkit, and however licenses are required in order to deploy the adapter at runtime. Now, coming on to the slide 5. In this slide, I would like to cover some of the common SAP terminology being used, which would help with the presentation about the adapter. So, IDOCs. Basically, IDOCs are nothing but the proprietary structures. They're used for, like, electronic data interchange. So, they basically support or use for asynchronous data communications. And they're represented like a flat structure. Next is the SAP JCO. SAP JCO is nothing but a toolkit or an API that is provided for communication between the adapter or the external applications and the SAP systems. So the JCO supports both the Java to the SAP system calls as well as the SAP system to the Java calls. And also to mention that the SAP JCO jar file, it's not provided or does not come along with adapter. It is something that is provided by the SAP application itself. And also with the adapter, we do support like the 2.1.x version and of the SAP JCO jars. And also it is recommended both from the SAP side and also from the adapter perspective to be on the most recent versions of the jar files, SAP JCO jar files, instead of using the very earlier ones. Next is basically the BAPI. BAPIs are nothing but basically an interface. Which is used to access the data in SAP systems. So BAPIs are something like the functions, basically the functions which are actually already implemented in SAP. So external applications can call these functions in order to carry out a certain task. So for example, say we have there's a BAPI called BAPI_customer_create. So this function has already been implemented in SAP. So that the external applications, what they can do is just can use a function call the function name, you know the function name, the input or the import parameters, and call the function in order to carry out their or basically create a customer in this case. Next, ALE, or the Application Link Enabling. It's a main component of the business framework architecture. It's based on the component-based architecture, and basically it allows the exchange of information or integration between the software components within SAP and the other software vendors. ALE uses the IDOCs for a data exchange. Now, moving on to slide number 6, features available. So with request processing or the outbound connectivity, it's provided by the SAP request node. So the SAP request node supports the following interfaces: the BAPI interface, which is the business application programming interface, the application link enabling interface, the AEP, and the query interface for the SAP software. And for the BAPI interface, actually, it comes in 3 flavors. So basically, which is like a simple BAPI call, then the BAPI work unit, and the BAPI result set. I would be talking more about these and the further slides. And with the ALE or the application link enabling, as I said, it's more of used for like asynchronous communication, and it also supports QRFC functionality as well. AEP, it uses ABAP handlers for processing, and the QISS or the query interface for SAP software, it is used to query the SAP application tables. And as I said, I will be covering more information about each of these interfaces in my further slides. Now, coming on to the slide number 7, in this slide, basically, as event processing or the inbound connectivity, it's provided with the help of the SAP input node. The SAP input node supports the following interfaces: application link enabling, and with the ALE interface, it also supports the ALE pass-through, and with the application link, which basically supports the asynchronous event notification. And also the event recovery is available. And then the advanced event processing, which Unlike ALE, which is more of like a push model, it uses a polling mechanism for processing the events. And then the BAPI, it's more of will just support the asynchronous BAPI calls with the inbound scenario. Now moving on to slide 8. In the next few slides, I will be covering the request processing in more detail. Now moving on to slide number 9. To continue with the presentation, in this slide and the next couple of slides, I will be covering the ALE interface with respect to the outbound. ALE interface with it allows like the asynchronous data exchange with the use of iDocs are used for communication with SAP server. So the iDoc data structures generally contains basically the control record and the data record. Control record contains basically the metadata that is required to process the iDoc business object, and also the data record, which actually contains the iDoc data itself, and also it contains the metadata that is required to convert the data into the iDoc format. So, and with the ALE outbound, although with the, we support the QRFC functionality. When we say QRFC functionality, with the, what we do here is like adapter supports sending the messages to a queue on the SAP server. So basically, and also the QRFC protocol, it basically ensures that the iDocs are sent in the sequence to the SAP server. With the ALE outbound, the adapter basically can send a single iDoc or can send the iDoc packets to the SAP server. iDoc packets to the SAP server. And also, like as I mentioned, that the ALE, with ALE, in addition to the simple ALE, we also support the ALE pass-through, which is basically about exchanging the data in the form of a byte stream. So it's basically when an iDoc, the iDoc is, instead of converting into an iDoc business, it's basically into the format, it's not formatted and it just passes through the iDoc without any iDoc conversion. Now moving on to slide number 10. In this slide, I would summarize the sequence of operations or the steps that are carried out for, during the ALE outbound interface. So when an adapter receives request in the form of an iDoc message business object from the message flow, it examines basically the iDoc business object to populate the RFC call for the ALE interface. So in the case of ALE pass-through, what happens here is like the message tree contains a blob object, which actually contains the iDoc. And in case of ALE pass-through, it does not contain any business object itself. So since we are just passing the byte stream, and then once the RFC call has been populated, the RFC connection is being established, and then the data is being sent to the SAP. In case where the QRFC is being used, the order specified in the wrapper BO is used to send the data to the queue in SAP. And also like here, once the data is being sent, the adapter releases the connection. So, and also like here would like to mention that, so for example, if the adapter does not support the local transactions, J2C local transaction, which is basically provided by the broker's transaction manager, so nothing is returned back to the caller. So in this case, what would happen is like if no exceptions are returned, that means that the outbound call has been successful. And in order to verify if the data has been incorporated into the SAP for that particular iDoc, the iDoc has to be inspected manually in the SAP itself. Say if the iDoc, the adapter supports a J2C local transaction, then the TID is returned back to the caller. Now, moving on to the slide number 11. The slide number 11, it basically shows the message structure on how corresponding to the ALE interface. So it contains basically the SAP transaction ID and the QRFC name. So these fields are to be filled in if the TRFC of the TID or the QRFC functionality is being used. Otherwise, these fields are left blank. And also, I would like to mention more about the SAP transaction ID here. So in this case, it is up to the message flow on how it stores the TID and how it would basically relate the TID to the data that is being sent to the adapter. So basically, the message flow should make use of this TID to ensure that, say, if the TID has already been, if the event corresponding to a TID has already been sent, so it should make sure that the event is not resent again. So if the TID is not populated, what the adapter does is, like, once it's successfully completed processing of the event, then the TID is populated. And if in the case, like, if the message flow has a TID already, it should populate the TID field. And also the same thing to do with the QRFC name. Here we specify the name of the predefined queue on the SAP server, which is used to send IDOCs. So, and also the IDOC, it consists of an IDOC business object. So in case of a single IDOC, it's basically more of a wrapper that is being used. So the wrapper would contain only one single IDOC business object. But in case of an IDOC business, in case of packet IDOCs, the wrapper would contain one or more IDOC business objects. Also in the next slide, basically it shows a message structure for the ALE pass-through scenario. So everything is pretty much same in terms of like the ALE interface, but only difference is that here the data being exchanged is like there is no IDOC business object as such. And the data here is represented, it's more like a byte stream that is being exchanged. So it's represented in the hex binary form. Now moving on to the next slide. In the next couple of slides, I would be talking about the BAPI interface in detail. So just to give a brief overview of, the BAPI interface. So BAPI interface basically, what it provides is it provides the functionality or it makes an RFC call to the RFC enabled functions, which are nothing but the BAPIs on the SAP server. So with the BAPI interface, we support like three types of calls. One is a simple BAPI call, then the BAPI work unit, and the BAPI result set. I will talk about more about these different types of BAPI interfaces supported in the next few slides. Now going on to the next slide, which is slide number 14. This details the sequence of operations that are carried out by with the BAPI interface during the outbound scenario. So basically, the adapter would receive a request from the message flow in the form of a BAPI business object. So basically, it would get the metadata, the ASI information, the function call information, and the import parameters. So once it receives the request, it converts a BAPI business object to a JCO function call. And then basically, it establishes a RFC connection and to the SAP application. So using this RFC function call, it basically processes the BAPI. And then once it receives a response, it basically converts into the business objects and then forwards it back to the message flow. Now coming on to the next slide, which is slide number 15. This is a simple BAPI call. So with the help of simple BAPI call, we can carry out the simple operations like the create, update, delete, or retrieve. So would like to mention here about like the simple BAPI calls is that in addition to the synchronous processing, the simple BAPI calls also support the asynchronous TRFC processing and also the asynchronous QRFC processing. So in case of asynchronous TRFC processing, what happens is like when a function call is made for the RFC-enabled function, the TID is passed along with the function call. So say in case of failure, that it can be used to resend the events to the SAP server. And also, the adapter also supports a QRFC, meaning the adapter can send the BAPI request for BAPIs to a queue on the SAP server. And the simple BAPI call is represented by a wrapper business object. In the next slide, basically, it would show the business object structure of a simple BAPI call, which is on slide number 16. So basically, in a simple BAPI call, each of the operations, for example, create, retrieve, update, or delete, are represented as a business object. And all these operations together are basically grouped under a wrapper business object. So that is how the business object structure for the simple BAPI call looks like. Now moving on to the slide number 17. So BAPI work unit, it's basically nothing but a set of BAPIs that have to be executed in a sequence to perform a particular task. For example, what it is like, in order to say we have to change an employee record. So in that case, what we have to do is like first we have to log that record so that no one else touches that. And then we go ahead with that updating the record once. And then the next step would be once we have made the changes to the record is to commit the changes or make sure that the changes have in fact been taken place or approved. So these are the kind of BAPIs which have to be executed in a certain sequence in order to make sure that the particular task has been completed or the transaction has been completed. So the work unit provides this kind of functionality. In the next slide, that is on slide number 18, would show the message structure corresponding to the BAPI work unit. So if BAPI work unit, basically all the simple BAPIs that are to be executed in sequence are basically represented under the wrapper business object. So basically what it contains is like a wrapper business object, and underneath it would be like the different BAPIs that have to be executed. So the main advantage of the BAPI work unit is that for example, in this case where we updated an employee record, it's actually three different function calls. But by using the BAPI work unit or the BAPI transaction, all these functions are carried out in a single function call. So that's the main advantage of the BAPI work unit. Now, moving on to this slide 19, which is a BAPI result set. So BAPI result set interface makes use of the getList and the getDetail function. GetList and the getDetail function. So the results returned by the getList is used as an input for the getDetail BAPI. So basically the adapter connection wizard, it basically during the discovery process, it establishes the relationship between the getList and the getDetail BAPI. So what it is like just to explain in more detail on how it works. So first the getList BAPI is executed, which basically retrieves a list of keys. So for example, here in this case, let's say we want to basically get the customer details. So the BAPI getList is executed, which would get us a list of keys. Here in this case is the customer IDs. So the customer IDs then are dynamically mapped to the business object of the getDetail BAPI. And then the getDetail BAPI is executed a number of times so that the different customer details are received or retrieved. Now moving on to the next slide, which basically shows a message structure corresponding to the BAPI result set. So what the BAPI result set is represented by a wrapper business object. The wrapper business object contains a SAP result set or the BAPI, getDetail BAPI, as one of its members. And the getDetail BAPI has as its stage the query business object, which basically corresponds to the getList BAPI. So these two BAPIs work together in order to retrieve the BAPI result set. Now moving on to the slide number 21. SQI basically it is the query interface for the SAP software. So it basically provides the ability to retrieve the data from the SAP application tables. It also supports the hierarchical data retrieval from multiple application tables. It uses a special object called table object. The way it would work is the adapter receives business object or basically a table object. So what the adapter does is like the table object, it contains a query object, which basically can be within a container object or it can be received as a table object. So the adapter examines this table object to determine like which table to examine, and also then it would determine and also would have the information on which columns to retrieve and which rows to retrieve. So adapter then uses this information to retrieve the call information from the SAP application tables. So in the case, basically, once a query business object is executed, so a result set is returned. So result set, which is basically a container of the query business objects for each of the data that is being retrieved from the SAP application table. And then, if a table object is being returned, in that case, one row is returned at a time as it is being retrieved. So in addition to the retrieve all, the adapter also supports, the SQI interface also supports the exist operation, which basically checks for the existence of records. So the scenario in which this would be helpful is, for example, say we are creating a sales order, but we would like to know like if the customer does exist or not before we create a sales order for that particular customer. So in that scenario, we might want to check for the existence of a record. So the we can use this particular thing that used to check the existence of that particular customer. And so if the search has been has been successful, then it returns the same table object. And if the search has been unsuccessful, then an exception is thrown. Now moving on to the next slide, slide number 22. It basically shows the message structure corresponding to the query interface for the SAP software. So it contains the columns of the business object contains the columns that are to be retrieved from the SAP application table. In addition to the columns that are to be retrieved, the business object also contains a query business object. So the query business object has its attributes, the SAP WHERE clause. The WHERE clause, it's basically, it can be specified static or it can be specified dynamically. It's basically used to retrieve the information from the SAP application tables. And the SAP row skip, it is used to determine the number of rows to be skipped before retrieving the data from the tables. And the SAP max rows, it determines the maximum number of rows to be returned in the result set. Now, moving on to the next slide. So this slide talks about the advanced event processing interface. So the advanced event processing interface is basically used to receive the data from or update the data in the SAP server. So it uses it processes the data using the ABAP handler interface. So basically the way it would work is the adapter would receive advanced event processing record from the message flow. So the adapter would basically contain the business object and also the metadata to determine the structure of the IDOC type and also to reformat the business object into the IDOC format. And then once the handlers are used, for processing the request, and once the handlers process the request, the response, adapter receives the response, and then it is forwarded on to the message flow. So ABAP handlers here are basically used to get the data in and out of the SAP application databases. So ABAP handlers are also called as a function modules. They are used to update the business object data into the SAP application database, or also they use this business object data. Basically, they use them as keys to retrieve the information from the SAP databases. And also, with the adapter, provides a tooling mechanism, a tool called the call transaction wizard, which basically is used or helps in developing the ABAP handlers. So the call transaction wizard can be accessed by running the transaction code as shown in the slide. And also included are like the certain code steps which can be used in while developing the ABAP handlers. Now moving on to slide number 24. In the next few slides, I will be talking about the event processing in detail. So moving on to slide number 25. So here I will be talking about the ALE interface from the inbound perspective. So in this in the case of inbound ALE interface, it acts more like an RFC server. So what happens is like the when the adapter starts up, it starts up a configured number of listeners. So we have like the and so during the connection wizard, we specify an RFC program ID, which is nothing but a port that is configured on the SAP side where the events are sent to. So the adapter keeps listening on this port for the SAP events, and whenever an event occurs, adapter receives the event and basically converts it into a business object and forwards it to the rest of the message flow. So, and here the control record within the IDOC is used to determine the type of operation. And the logical message type, the message code, and the message function, these three attributes, which we basically also called as a partner profile information, so which we specify during the adapter connection wizard, must match the information of the IDOC that is being sent from the SAP in order for successful processing. With the ALE interface, we support the single IDOC, the split IDOC packets, and also support the non-split IDOC packets or and also the unparsed IDOCs and the IDOC packets. And also with the ALE inbound, we have a feature called the ALE update status. So what it is like when the event is delivered to the endpoint, the status can be updated to the SAP. So, for example, we use a there is an attribute called ALE update event status, which has to be set to true in order to support this particular functionality. So what it does is like say if the flow has been successful in delivering it to the endpoint, then the adapt basically would update an IDOC, which is something which is called like ALE AUD in the SAP, saying that the flow has been successfully delivered to the endpoint. So in order to support this, in addition to setting this property, also in the partner profile information on the SAP side, RFC program ID should be configured to receive the IDOC for the ALE AUD. This functionality is mainly used for audit trail purposes. Also, here would like to mention about like in case of event failures, adapter basically has there are two properties that are being used called the retry limit and the retry interval. What happens is like in case of failure, the adapter logs a failure, and what it does is it tries to restart the event listeners. For the configured based on these two properties, the retry limit and the retry interval. And say if the adapter if it was unsuccessful in starting the listeners after these number of tries specified in the retry limit, the adapter would then be stopped and have to be restarted. Adapter supports basically event recovery. Event recovery by selecting the assured once and only once delivery property. So what basically event recovery, it's achieved, and the data source is used here in order to process the data. Coming on to the next slide, ALE interface, single IDOC or an IDOC packet. So here, just to sequence the operations as mentioned, so the event listeners have started up, and the adapter is capable of receiving a single IDOC or a packet of IDOCs. So here, in the case of a packet IDOC, what happens, the adapter converts basically the IDOC into the business object one by one and then posts it to the endpoint. And here we have a feature, in case of a single IDOC or an IDOC packet, there's a property called the ignore IDOC packet errors. So basically what it happens is like, say, in processing the IDOC packet, and if the this property is set to false, So the adapter, if it encounters an error while processing one of the IDOCs, it would stop processing of the IDOCs and would then send this information back to the SAP. So here, and if it is set to true, then the adapter would continue processing. Here, in case of an IDOC packet, it also maintains in the event recovery table, maintains the information about which IDOC is being processed in the IDOC packet, and also how many number of IDOCs in the IDOC bucket, so that like if some, in case of a failure scenario, this information can be used for recovery. Now moving on to the next slide, non-split IDOC. By selecting the option during the discovery process, we can send the IDOC packet as a whole. So in this case, the IDOC is converted into a business into a single business object and then forwarded to the endpoint. So here, in case of a failure, the entire IDOC has to be sent. Whereas in case of a split IDOC packet, only the IDOC. Basically, what would have happened is like the IDOCs that have failed during processing in the IDOC packet, they would have been logged into the logs, and only those IDOCs have to be resubmitted manually for processing. Now, moving on to slide number 28, the unparsed IDOCs. So basically, adapter connection wizard provides an option to send the IDOC as unparsed. What happens here is basically it's only the data portion that is being unparsed here. So it is like the data portion is not converted and it is being sent out as a byte array. And it is represented by a hex binary. And it's up to the endpoint on how to format and how to parse the data being received from the SAP. And also to talk more about here, so the way it would work is like, so in the case of ALE module, the event recovery, as I said, is just to summarize, the event recovery is basically provided by using the assured once and only once delivery. So just to summarize the processing, how it is carried out is like the processing would start off by like the SAP server, it sends a TID to the adapter. So if it is a new event, the adapter sets the status to created. And then also like if it is created, then it would basically establish the connection, and then once IDOC is being processed, it would change the status to executed. And then once the SAP issues a commit call, that's when basically the adapter would basically send out saying that it's been successful. Now moving on to the slide number 29, which just talks about AEP interface. The AEP interface uses IDOCs for data transfer, but the way it is different is like here in case of AEP interface, it's more of based on the event polling mechanism. So it's basically when an event trigger occurs, an event is placed into the event table, which the adapter polls. And also the adapter retrieves the event with the help of the ABAP handler, and then it forwards it to the endpoint. So the scripts are provided on the WebSphere business integration tool. It provides scripts for generating the event table and also the archive table, etc. So basically, once a successful event has been successfully processed, the events are archived into the SAP system. Now moving on to the next slide. This slide basically shows the fields or on the event table being used, which the adapter polls for events. So there are a number of states with respect to like being changed with respect to the event. So basically when the event trigger occurs and an event is placed into the event table, and when the adapter polls for that event, at that point the state of the event is set as pre-queued. So and say the adapter polls the event, and if there is no lock or anything, no database lock on that particular event, then the adapter state is being changed to queued. And then, say if there is a log that exists, the adapter state is basically changed to logged. And so the adapter keeps polling this particular at the regular intervals, and which is basically a configurable property. So once adapter polls this event, so what happens here is like the adapter basically uses a remote function provided by the retrieve operation to retrieve the information which is then forwarded to the rest of the message flow. And also here the adapter also provides assured once and once only delivery with the help of a field here called XID. So this field is set once the event is picked up, this field is set. So say if something went wrong during the processing of the event. So this particular field, using this and adapter, when it restarts, it checks for the field, value of the fields, and processes those events first before actually continuing the processing of the other events. Now coming on to the next slide, which is slide number 31. So in the next few slides, I would cover more details about like the adapter connection wizard on like the how connection wizard that is used to basically generate the elements that are required for the EIS connectivity. So in this first, when we open up or launch the message broker toolkit, and then we see an adapter connection wizard. In this, basically we would select the RAR file, and then when we say next, it would go on to a next screen where we basically specify. Can we move on to the slide number 32? Which basically here we specify the adapter dependencies. So basically there are three files that are to be provided here, the SAP JCO and the libRFC32.dll or s.so in case of Unix environment, and SAP JCO RFC.dll or the libSAPJCORFC.so files for the Unix environment. So basically these EIS libraries have to be made available, or not only made available here, in order to connect to the SAP, in order to basically retrieve the, to access the business objects or the services, to build our message flow, but also these have to be made available at runtime as well in order to for communication with the SAP systems. Now moving on to the next slide, which is slide number 33. So in this slide, we basically specifying the adapter interaction style. So that is whether it's an inbound or an outbound scenario. Moving on to slide number 34. Here we specify the connection parameters. So the main thing to access the EIS. So here basically we specify the host name, the username, and the password. And as you see, the SAP interface name, which basically you can set, depending upon which interface is being used, there are options are provided to select them. Now moving on to slide number 35. So once we specify the connection information, the adapter, basically the wizard connects to the EIS using that, or the SAP using that information, and it basically retrieves or gives a list of business objects and services available. So in this wizard, we would basically select the business and objects or the services that we would like to use. Then move on to the next slide, that is slide number 36. So basically, before starting off with this slide, so at the end of the exercise that we went through in the previous slides, what we would have is like basically a message flow generated, and a message set is being created, which basically describes the messages that are being exchanged with the SAP server or the application. And also basically an adapter component is being created. So these are the three things which would be created at the end of the exercise. So once basically all these components have been created, what the next step is to like drag and drop the adapter component that is available onto the canvas. Once we drag and drop the SAP input or the request node onto the canvas, so the message set and adapter components are then associated with that particular adapter node. And then talking about the deployment process, so once we are done with the configuration, the next step is to deploy the adapter. So before deploying, the adapter has to be packaged as a part of the .bar file and then being then deployed onto the server. So the bar file would contain basically the message flow, then the message set, which contains the message definitions, and then the adapter configuration file, or that is the in-adapter component or the out-adapter component. Now moving on to the next slide, which is slide number 37, which talks about the troubleshooting information. So basically here, there are like, in order to troubleshoot issues with respect to like the adapter, so there are like, the tracing is done or included as a part of the message broker traces itself. So there are two kinds of traces, the user trace and the service trace. the debug mode must be turned on in order to capture like the more details or the final details of the adapter processing. So the info center or the must gather for the adapter support site has the information which will provide more details about how to turn on the debug mode on and how to collect the service traces. So actually, once we collect the service traces, it also includes the user trace information as well, so which we would need for debugging any adapter-related issues. And also the local error logs. So on Windows, there is an event log. Event log application view is being used for as a local error log, and the Unix machines, it's a system log that's being used. And for any issues during the discovery process, we have like a log file that's located in the workspace.metadata directory for debugging purposes. That concludes my presentation here, and I would like to give back the control to Joseph.
Thank you, Pammy, for a great presentation. At this point, Marjorie, we would like to open the live questions.
We'll take our first question from Frederick Sorensen with Systems.
Hi. I was wondering about extension IDOC. I've been able to successfully extract the basic IDOCs, and now I need to extract extension IDOCs. However, I'm not possible to see any extension IDOC in my SAP system that I'm working with. I'm wondering if there are any issues with writes, or you can give me any hints on where to look in the SAP system, what kind of writes I need to have, or any other idea why I'm not seeing any extension IDOCs.
Okay. With respect to extension IDOCs or the basic IDOCs, there is no difference in the permissions required. So pretty much it's the same level of permissions that would be required for the extension IDOCs as with the basic IDOCs themselves. I would suggest like basically check with your SAP team to make sure you have the right permissions in order to like access on the SAP end. So there are, but from adapter perspective, there are no specific permissions that are additionally needed for the extension IDOCs. And if the issue really exists, I would suggest to open up the PMR so that we can assist further with the issue.
At this time, we have no further questions. I'll turn the call back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, Marjorie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.